Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Melissa told us in the news earlier this morning that Mark Sanford sort of back in the news because his wife now is writing a tell-all book.
That's right. She's got a new memoir called Staying True, and she's actually going to be on an interview on 2020 on Friday night, and they're talking a little bit about this interview, and one of the things that came out was the fact that she admitted she had made a leap of faith when she married him. Now, remember, Governor Mark Sanford from South Carolina is the one that had the secret lover in Argentina, and he was, like, hiking on the Appalachian Trail was his big alibi at the time. So that's who this guy is. So his wife is coming out now, and she talks about how...
Remember also, because I think this is a key point, afterwards he said that the woman in Argentina was his soulmate.
That's right.
While he was still married to his wife.
That is correct.
And that was right before she took the kids and she said, okay, see ya.
See ya later.
And then moved down the street.
And he almost said it like it's an apology. Like, I'm really sorry this happened, but you know, I'm going to make things work with my wife. The girl in Argentina was my soulmate, but I understand I'm married, so I'm going to try to
This was not
work.
Some like superficial affair.
Right.
That was my soulmate down in Argentina.
Almost,
sorry, wifey.
Yeah, right. Almost like saying it's okay.
Right.
I'm trying to see. Okay, they were married for 20 years before this happened. So 20 years ago when they got married, she talks about the fact that he refused to promise to be faithful because he insisted that the clause be removed from their wedding vows on being faithful to one another. And she says it bothered her. She said, but we were young. We were in love. I questioned it, but I got past it along with the other doubts I had. So she was confused, concerned by it, but went ahead and married him with those vows anyway.
And were the vows in a church?
I don't know.
I just wondered.
Why does that change things for you, if it was or was not?
I just wondered, like, what priest would allow that to happen.
That you're allowed to edit your vows like that?
Yeah, that you would be able to change the religious ceremony to sort of suit your needs, I guess.
Well, you can write your own vows.
Is there a standard vows, like in a church?
A la carte vows.
Yeah, you can do that.
You can change your own vows.
You can write your own vows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so he just decided, look, I don't know that I'm capable of that, so let's take that out.
Right.
My knee-jerk reaction this morning was like, well, if she knew that, and then now we fast forward 20 years, then can't she say to herself, well, I mean, I knew. I mean, he was telling me what he was at the time, and I decided to
ignore it.
To ignore it. But I think I've softened my stance on it since 6:30 this morning. And I'll tell you why, because I'll tell you what I was thinking of this morning.
You came strong early.
I did.
Yeah, he did.
Because he didn't say, I'm going to cheat on you. He said, I don't know that I'm capable of it. And I think that is two different things.
Capable of being monogamous?
Right.
And why get married?
Yeah. I would have a huge issue if that... If somebody made a stance like, you know what, I want just that, instead of saying, let's rewrite our vow, like he could have smoothed it over better and said, let's rewrite our vows and say what we want to say to one another, make it personal. And that way he gets away. I mean, I'm sorry to do that, but that's how he gets away with it. But for somebody to tell me, look, I'm going to marry you, but I just don't like the faithful part. I just can't do it. Then I would be like... I don't think I could get past that.
I think what I was drawing on earlier this morning was, I've told you guys, I have a friend who got married to a woman, and he told her before they got married, look, I don't want to ever have children. Never, 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 never. And then, never. And she said, okay, cool, that's fine. You know what? I want children, but you know what? I love you so much that I can do this. Let's go ahead and get married. So they get married, and like a week and a half later, he goes in, he gets a vasectomy. He's serious about it, man. He's like, I told you, never, 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 never having a kid. And he said at that point, their relationship really started to go in the tank. Even though he told her we're never having kids, I think in her mind, she thought, you know what, once he gets married, he'll soften to the idea.
And she thought she could change him.
And she thought she could change him. She couldn't. They're divorced now. She lives on the West Coast. He lives here. And I was drawing on that for this story, but I think it is different. Like, he didn't say, I'm not going to be faithful. He just said, I'm not sure I'm not capable.
Well, the thing is, too, I feel with women that also this accommodation that we, especially when we're younger, that we feel like we have to accommodate to others. It's almost like a natural instinct that we're going to just go along with something or make somebody happy, and we'll disregard what we're thinking because maybe we're overreacting because we're taught our emotions are just out of control. But the thing is, women need to stand up for what they feel. And if she had a problem with that, I don't think she stood up enough for it. You know what I mean? And the thing with the kid thing, I have some friends, same situation. He said, I don't want kids. And she married him anyway. And then it became a huge issue in their marriage.
Right.
She should have stood up for herself, you know? And if it's a huge difference and she believed in something strong enough, the first reaction I had to her was, why didn't you say something instead of just saying, well, okay.
Well,
I'll do it anyway.
Don't think it's
minimal.
Gonna be a big deal. Like, you don't think like some of those things are going to ever present themselves as an issue. You know, like some of those things you should talk about are, you know, I don't know. You just never think that those things are going to be a big deal. I totally understand what she's coming from. Like, you're young, you're in love, you think everything's going to be perfect, you just go along with it.
Like, now at your age, if you were going to get married and the guy said to you, let's take that part of the vow out, would you go ahead and get married?
No. At a younger age, you might have. I think, like, for me, it's like religion, you know? Like, you think, oh, that doesn't matter. That's not going to be a big deal. Or, I don't really care for his family. And you're like, or whatever it may be. And I'm not saying this based on my personal experience. I'm saying it, you know, based on anybody. You just think it's, none of that stuff's going to be a big deal. None of that stuff will matter. We love each other. It doesn't matter that I'm a Christian and he's a Buddhist, you know, or I'm Jewish and, you know, and he's Muslim. It doesn't matter. We love each other.
But it goes back to.
And then, you know, years later, it presents itself to be a major issue. You just don't think it's going to when you're young.
But this one isn't like
love.
See, I can understand that line of sort of debate when it comes to religion, but not when it comes to infidelity. I mean, he's saying, I'm not sure I'm capable of being with just one woman. So I don't know how any woman.
He didn't say that.
He said, well,
he said, I want to.
Essentially, did
he? Right. But I think if you've been dating somebody for X number of years, and you got proposed to, and then you're getting married, and the date's set, and you're 2 weeks out, and you're going over your vows, and he says, I don't think that the faithful part, that just seems so, like, unneeded. In your mind, you go, yeah, you're right. Why do we have to put that in there? I mean, that's a given.
But yeah, I don't know. You don't know that that's the conversation they had.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. I just think that he is a young man. You know. Anyway, he is a young man, is able to say exactly what he wants, and a young woman doesn't feel comfortable doing that, and she ends up getting, you know, it biting her in the butt in the end.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, how I love quoting Oprah because it really makes me feel like a guy. but she said, I mean, I have heard her say before that men tell you all the time what they're all about. They scream it to you. Women don't listen. Here's a guy saying, I'm probably going to screw around on you. And she didn't listen. And 20 years later, he falls in love with his soulmate in Argentina. Hey, Emily, good morning.
Hi, how are y'all?
Okay, good. How are you?
I love you guys. I definitely agree with the girls and agree with what you just said. Even though I don't know if I've heard a man quote Oprah before, but I agree. I'm 22, almost 23, and I know as a girl, we kind of, as like society makes us lower our standards and kind of back down of what we want in a male because we feel like we can't find it, and so then we lower our standards and kind of back down like the girls are saying, and then we get married and realize, oh, now I'm in a load of crap that I didn't want to be in. You know what I mean? So I think we need to not back down, you know?
Well, isn't that almost a hypocritical statement? Because if you're saying you're part of a society that makes women lower their standards and you engage in relationships that aren't secure for your future, aren't you part of that society? So if you don't do that, then you're sort of raising the bar for yourself.
Well, no, I'm saying that we need to go against it. That we need to go against. And not that we should continue the cycle, but that we should kind of go against this and not back down and lower our standards. Because I mean, I would have thought red flags would have gone up if this man said that he didn't want to be faithful. Like, that would have sent huge red flags in my face. So I'm saying to me too that I don't think we need to back down and lower what we really want to be happy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And we don't know his reasoning that he gave her for taking that out either, because I think girls can be easily convinced at that young age. Even now, I mean, a guy can convince you of anything or convince you to do anything, especially being that young. So we don't know what he told her. Could be completely different in his mind.
Hey, Brooke.
Hello. Pound fail.
Gone. Hey, Robert, you're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, you guys.
What's up, man?
Hate you, too.
Anyway, he could have been trying to secure herself, you know, with a nice future. I mean, this is the predominant man that's going to become, a senator or whatever. And she could have just been doing it to make sure that she had, you know, lived the high life, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in, with Bill Clinton and Hillary, all that went down with them, she took and spent it and made it, you know, to her advantage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, women are capable of, you know, putting themselves in a position that they want to because they know what they want to do and where they want to be with their life.
And if Jenny Sanford came out and said that, if she said, you know what, he said that, but you know what, I stayed because I knew that I would have a better life with him than other guys that I had dated, mm-hmm. I'd have more respect for
him. Right.
Because you're being honest, you know?
I guess that's it.
And yeah.
Pound awesome.
Pound Jenny Sanford.
If you want to at reply us, go ahead. And we're going to go ahead and log off now.
The Burt Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Super Bowl is on Sunday, mm-hmm. and man, we get the same email throughout the year. Where do I go to meet guys? Where do I go to meet guys? Man, this is your day. Sunday is your day.
Yeah, ladies, you got to get ready. I mean, seriously, get the hair did, get the nails done, shave your legs, and get ready for Sunday.
Yeah, same plan Bert has for his Super Bowl down in Miami.
This is just going to be shave his arms.
Right. I mean, this is really, I mean, on Sunday, think of the sports bars around town mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. are going to be packed with single guys. All with their buds, sitting there watching Super Bowl, getting their drink on.
Mm-hmm. Having a good time, just hanging out there. It's going to be unsuspecting men out everywhere.
And Dan Tanas here in Buckhead is, I mean, it's one of the premier sports bars here in town. And every time I go into that place now, I look around, and it is like, it's like the beautiful people hanging out at that place.
Well, I would tell you that I think it is one of the only places in Atlanta that leans men versus women. Like, where you walk into the bar and you're like, wow, there's a lot of dudes here. Like, typically, that is a place that I would say is 70-30.
And it's quality dudes
to women.
Which is odd because the proportion of women to men in Atlanta is 804.
Well, that's what everybody thinks. I just think more women go out more often. But yeah, a lot of times you'll walk into a place and you're like, God, there's like, you know, 70 to 30 women in the room. But at Dan Tanas, to me, it's way more guys that are the regulars there. And good looking guys, too. Like business guys, like a lot of people going there after work kind of thing. It's a really cool crowd.
It's not like your old school sports bar, you know, like how they all used to be really dark and mm-hmm. you'd walk in there and it didn't matter what time of afternoon or night, it always reeked of beer and the floor is always sticky. Dan Tanas is nothing like that. It's high end, sleek mm-hmm. sports bar, right?
I'm fascinated by the TVs, you know, that's suspend from the ceiling that you can see from both sides.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by those TVs.
all throughout the restaurant. It is cool. Right?
That's cool.
I'm going to the wrong place.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
They've got
yeah.
kind of like a patio and then a bar area and then a full restaurant, and the food's amazing too.
And the bar area has this huge screen right behind the bar. And it is like prime watching is right in front of that screen. There are like 2, 3, or 4 chairs right in front of that screen. We want to give you guys access to those chairs. We're looking for 2 women to compete for those spots at Dantana's on Sunday.
Wow.
But we're looking for women that don't know anything about football.
Right, because it's going to be mm-hmm. you and one of your girlfriends that wins the spot.
So single girls.
Single girls.
Yes.
Because then the fact that the person who wins doesn't know anything about football gives them an opportunity to ask questions of the good-looking guys who are nearby.
Easy icebreaker right there.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are going to literally be reaching over you to get to the bartender to get their drink. So, I mean, it's all right there lined up for you.
These yeah. are like VIP reserved spots that they're like actually like selling.
Are they really?
I think so.
Yeah, they're selling the bar seats.
Are they really? Selling so. The bar seats for the Super Bowl.
These
like
are
that's
prime
how prime time these are going to be.
And I think it's, you know, for this region, it may be difficult to find women who don't know anything about football. But I think that the focus is we need women that are focusing on meeting these guys more so than the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be in those seats and just focus on the game and ignoring all the guys. The purpose of this is we're being your wing men and women to try to help you out. You know, just like Bert said, you don't know where to meet guys. Well, this is your chance to, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
We're putting you in the pond.
Or it's like picking up on guys in a sports bar.
Melissa, the way the look on Melissa's face, her dad said to her, fish in a barrel 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And in her mind, she said, someday
I'm going to use that
phrase. And finally.
And Groundhog's Day right. was the day.
And Groundhog's Day 2000. And Dad, love you, Dad.
Woo!
Thank you.
So here's what we're looking for. And you guys can call right now, 404-741-Q100. You must be single.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You must know that you can bring a wing woman with you on Sunday. And you have to know very little about football. And what we're going to have the two of you guys do, you and who you're competing against, is do some basic NFL and football research this week. Friday, we will put the two of you guys on together. We will ask you basic questions about football. Whoever gets the most right gets the tickets, the VIP tickets into Dantana's. Okay?
Awesome.
Now, you got to be 21 years old for this because it is a bar.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, this really, if you're not going to the game and you're going to be hanging out, maybe the game isn't that important to you. This is like mm-hmm. the perfect place to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Well, this is man's day.
Man day. Hey, Catherine, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Just on my way to work now.
All right. You are single?
Yes.
Very
I am.
Single.
And you have a cool accent.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, so I know nothing about football. I've been to one Falcons game in my life, and I didn't understand a single thing that was going on.
Okay. Now, I'm not as good at Spurt with the accents, but you sound British. So are you sure you're attractive?
Yes.
Jeff.
You're not going to make jokes about teeth. Please don't.
No, I'm just making sure.
That was the next thing out of his mouth. Like, yeah, just don't talk. Don't smile.
Jeff, God.
But as a wingman, I feel good about this because you have an accent. So we're helping out our brothers at
yeah.
Dantana's because every dude digs a chick with an accent.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And my other single friend is also from England as well. He would go as well. So there'd be two of us.
Did you say he would go as well?
She.
Yeah, my other single friend, yeah, my roommate, she's from England,
she.
So she'd be up for going as well.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. You guys
maybe
know
she said he because it's British roommate and you can't tell sometimes in dim light.
I'm going to apologize for Jeff right now. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
So let's get you on hold and we'll talk to you again on Friday.
Okay.
And you know zero about NFL football.
I know nothing. I mean, people have tried to explain it to me, but I'm a big rugby fan, so that's, you know, I know the rules for rugby, but football.
Yeah, she's
no.
like football to me, soccer.
Do you know who's playing in the Super Bowl?
I know that New Orleans is, but I don't know the other team.
Okay,
that's
only
because I've heard playing about them, but
all right.
I don't know who the other team is.
That is perfect. Let me put you on hold. Just do some brief research on football this week, and then we're going to get you back on Friday, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
If you have a couple of pints, might you touch his bangers and mash in the loo?
Really?
Hello.
Really, Jane? You're really tired, aren't you?
I'm exhausted.
Hey, Lori, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you? It's actually Story.
Story?
Oh, nice.
Yes.
All right, what's
cool
the story
name.
On Story?
There's not. I'm single. I've got a friend of mine that wants to go with me,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know that much about football.
Is your friend is your friend single too?
She is.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
It's my neighbor.
Okay.
Who is playing in the Super Bowl this year?
I don't know.
No idea. So you have no idea whatsoever. What is the name?
I knew there were. I knew the games that were going into the Super Bowl beforehand, but I don't watch NFL. So
okay.
What is the name of?
I will say I'm a Florida fan. I'm a huge college football fan.
Oh, she's perfect. No, perfect.
Hang out.
Go Gators.
No wonder why she doesn't know anything about football.
That's right.
How long has it been since a man touched you the way your daddy touched your mommy once?
I don't know.
What the hell?
I don't know when my dad touched my mom because I don't know where my dad is. But
well, he touched
my parents
her once.
Are separated. Yeah, obviously. Long time ago. I'm 32. Definitely single. Definitely looking. Ready to get back in the game. I had a birthday last week.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So, and my neighbor's birthday is next week. So we're definitely ready to get out there and have fun. We're cute and... We're ready to learn a lot about football.
What is the name of the football team that represents Atlanta?
The Falcons.
Okay, you at least got that.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, well, here's what we'll do. Friday, we're going to put you on against English Catherine, British Catherine.
Awesome.
And we'll see who knows more about football, because you're going to have, you know, just the base, some basics, if you're going to be hanging around all these guys on Sunday.
Right.
And whoever answers the most questions correctly will set you up, and Dan Tan is in that, like, VIP area.
Great.
Nothing but single dudes in that place.
That sounds awesome.
Story, where are you from?
I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida, but I've been here since the 80s. So
we have British, Catherine, and Floridian Story.
That's right.
Florida Story.
All right, we'll do this on Friday, okay?
All right, that sounds great, guys.
Okay, Lori, hold on.
Thanks so much, Lori.
And we will give this advice to you women also, man. If you want to be around a whole bunch of dudes on Sunday, man, Dantana is probably the place to be.
That's right.
Just stay away from the two VIP girls, because we're trying to hook them up big
time.
That's
right.
Are those the only two contestants?
No, there are plenty of others calling.
Okay, good.
Why?
Just making sure.
Why? What's the matter with you today?
Nothing.
Why are you so salty, man?
I'm just making sure, because somebody's got to look out for the guys at Dantana, so I want to make sure that we are choosing the best of the best.
Well, what makes you think that Catherine and Lori aren't the best of the best?
I thought it was Story.
Yeah, I think that Catherine's probably a great option.
What's wrong with Story?
Yeah. Nothing. I don't know her. I'm just saying. Just want to make sure that there's more people to choose from.
You're just being a big old boosh.
No, I'm not.
You were ripping on Catherine because she's British.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm just saying. I just want to make sure there's a good selection.
I think
for
he's
the
peacocking for you today because he was fine yesterday. You walked back in here this morning.
I think he's peacocking for you.
Today.
I'm so tired that anything's funny. So y'all just, I'm here to be entertained by the Burt Show today. Okay, I'm not a member. I'm a listener today.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
Hello, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. Y'all are awesome. I really enjoy listening to the show every day.
Thank you.
I know you got a busy day, but I wanted to hear about how Jeff's meetings went out in L.A.
Yeah, let's do everything L.A. here for a second. Let's get Jen in on this also. So Jeff was out in L.A. Coincidentally, the same time that Jen was there covering the Grammys, mm-hmm. Jeff was pitching a couple of TV show ideas.
I'll tell you mine first because this will be my first 24 hours in LA. Mm-hmm. And then I met up with Jen right after she got there because I was done with the, quote, work part of my trip as soon as she landed. And, mm-hmm. and that's when we ended up at that same club together where T-Pain and Stevie Wonder and Christina Aguilera and all those people were. So
Sierra.
Didn't mean to wake you up.
Katy Perry.
She's like, get me involved.
Katy Perry, Russell Brand.
So my 24 hours in LA where we landed on Thursday night and Friday morning, Jessica and I had breakfast together. And then I went and met a guy at my hotel. And then we got in a town car and went to a very fancy.
He came to pick you up VIP.
Uh-huh. Very fancy LA style building, all glass. I explained one side of the building were all the like business offices, mm-hmm. and that was very neat, very minimal, very like
modern.
Everybody on their Bluetooth, like the phones weren't even off the cradle.
Very Entourage, what you see in like Entourage, yes. in Ari's office.
Yes, like everybody's keyboard was wireless, nothing, like you wouldn't even know work was getting done.
Uh-huh.
Right? Then you curve around and you come back up the other side and that was the creative side. And those are like, you know, cardboard cutouts of, you know, movie stars with goatees drawn on them,
right.
and big sticky cartoon characters like stuck to the window, Nerf basketballs. One office was a Wii office, and it had a Wii on either side, and they had wired it so that you could play tennis literally facing each other, watching opposite monitors.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
In the Wii office. So.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that was what the creative side was like. And basically, I spent Friday morning just letting this guy tell me about how he has a development company and he thinks sometimes things are getting kind of, you know, stale in L.A. and he's just looking for fresh blood. And when I, you know, he liked the stuff that he saw but wanted me to talk to some people. I said, okay, that's cool. So then in the afternoon, I just sat in a room and it was never really talking specifically about ideas I had. They came up, they asked questions about, you know, the development of the story and the development of the characters and like who it was based on, but it was just very general. And then they told me some of their ideas and wanted my input on that. And it was just like a creative talk about it, work about it, and see if we all kind of vibe.
Like very brainstorming.
Yep. So I think we vibed. I think it was cool. I won't know anything. I mean, it's taken me 2 years to get to this point without I wasn't doing anything to push me in this direction. So I think it'll move a little bit faster now.
Like when you leave a meeting like that, you know if you crushed it or not, though, right? Like, did you feel like, okay, I know they're calling back.
It's weird because there's no set interview. Like if they do call back, I don't know what it's going to be for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like an interview, I think.
It wasn't like you defending your ideas.
Nope.
It was just ideas were being thrown around even outside of what you came
I'm
going to
put
with.
You in this room with these five people, four dudes and a girl and a couple mm-hmm. other people come in and out. And you all are going to hang out and talk and chill. And then after that, I'll be in touch. We're just going to see how this goes.
But one thing you said earlier is that, and you told us last week, that you had Friday and Saturday carved out for these meetings.
Yeah.
And that you only went on Friday and they told you what?
He said that Saturday would be if Friday didn't go well, because I think my guess is that he was going to put me with different people.
Okay.
To see how Saturday went. And Saturday, he's like.
And you didn't go in on Saturday.
No. And he told me on Friday, he's like, I followed up, you know, the usual thank you email or whatever from the BlackBerry, a quick one. And then he sent one back said, everybody liked you. And
a follow up. There's a lot of effort on you. So I think that, you know, I think something's got to come from
the
this.
The coolest part about it that. Not the coolest, but a very Hollywood part of the whole thing is in the room, there's a phone.
Uh-huh.
And if you pick up the phone, it rings somewhere. And you even if you don't say something into it, an assistant or an intern, and you pay attention, interns, this is how we're going to start rolling around here, just shows up at the door.
Like your own personal butler.
Boom, right there. And somebody will be talking and having a conversation. Will be saying, here's my idea. Why don't we have this, what if the protagonist is from a small town, but instead of doing the stereotypical big town thing, boom, person at the door. I need a Caesar salad. Remember, no croutons and dressing on the side. Right back into the story. No please, no thank you, no nothing.
You loved that, didn't you?
And the person's gone. And then
just like, I want that.
15 minutes later, right there at the door. And I even said at some point, I'm like, don't you guys feel, that's weird. I said, I know this is all stereotypical, but like, don't you feel crappy asking them to do that? And they said, it's the hazing. It's not personal. It's not.
Wow. They all did it at one point.
Everybody has to do it. And I said, well, I ain't doing it. and so that was Friday, and by dinner time I was done. Five or six o'clock I was mm-hmm. done. The guy that I was talking to got Jessica and I a reservation at this really hot restaurant, and while we were there I got a call from Jen, uh-huh. a text mm-hmm. message, and she says, hey, when you're done with dinner, the Atlanta Grammy people are all going to this party thrown by this guy, Tricky Stewart, who's
Tricky. I think that's a funny name.
Who's Tricky. A big producer. She says, they can put you on the list, so you all come down. And she rattles off all these names of people who are going to be there. So I said, Jessica, well, let's go. You know?
Do you think that the Run DMC song, It's Tricky, is his ringtone, or has ever been in his life?
I was thinking, hey, Tricky, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Tricky.
Hey, the banter here is really cute, but Jen's falling asleep.
I know.
She's been asleep.
Yeah. So Jen.
Hello. Hi.
Trying to get to you, darling.
I'm still here. Hi.
So Jen lists off all these people who are going to be at the party, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see if they show up.
Because Jen's been up for, you know, days. Over 24 hours.
I think she fell asleep at 8:30 this morning, but she's back now. She got a good hour.
No, it was actually about 10 minutes ago.
And as soon as we walk in, and as soon as we see Jen, within 2 minutes, I mean, we're standing like near the dance floor.
Uh-huh.
Katy Perry and Russell Brand, like, walked right by us. And they are tall.
Engaged little goth couple.
Did you see them, Jen?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, they had the back right VIP booth. So they were kind of holding down their little crew and their party there, but they were sitting up on the back of the booth so you could see them, and they were dancing and partying and having a good time. I think Katy Perry always looks surprised.
Yeah, I think it's just the way her eyes are always a little bit too open.
She always looks like she's in shock over something, but having a great time with it. You know, like, whoa, hey, oh, wow, life.
Did her and Russell Brand look like they were like in love and a cute little engaged couple?
Oh, absolutely. They have love written all over them. Cute. All they're doing is it, you know, in finger quotes, because they are so happy, and you can see it all over both of their faces, their body language. They're like way, way, way in love into each other.
So are they like behind like some velvet rope at this point, like in VIP areas, or are they right hanging with everybody?
No, they were hanging with everybody. I mean, this was a private party. This was not a club open to the public. You can't pay to get into this party. We had to be on the list through the publicist to get in. Gotcha. It was open bar. Like, they paid for everything. So the people who were indoors, like inside this club, were supposed to be there.
Sweet.
There was when Jessica and I got there, because we got there after Jen did, and Jen's the one who put our name at the door,
mm-hmm.
and there were some L.A. girls uh-huh. who were in front of us in line, and they're like, hi, hi. And the person at the door is like, yeah, you can't come in. And the girl's like, no, 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 tell Eric that Lucy and Portia are here.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's like, this is a private event. And she goes, we know, but we know Eric. And they're like, Eric's not in charge of the door tonight. And looked over at us, and Jessica said, dollar? And they're like, oh, yeah, your name was just put on the list. Come right around. And
doesn't feel good?
We got to walk right around these LA. And as we walked in, we heard them in the background going, will someone get Eric?
Jen, you said you saw Christina Aguilera there too, right?
Yep, Christina Aguilera was there with her husband, Jordan Bratman, and they were in like the catty corner from Katy Perry and Russell Brand's booth. They were kind of like across the dance floor, but they were sitting there much more like of a subdued crowd. Like, she was sitting down, she was on her phone, like doing a lot of texting or whatever. She had like a little pink cute cover for her phone, and they both looked adorable. You know, she had the typical Christina Aguilera, very bright red lipstick on. Mm-hmm. She had the blunt blonde haircut. It's really, really short right now. It's really cute on her. It's just really short. But, you know, they're an adorable couple too. So they seemed like they were like chatting and hanging out, but they were more low-key. They weren't, like, standing up on the chairs, like, dancing and stuff like Katy Perry was. Or, like, in the booth right next to them and above that booth was Ciara. Mm-hmm. And she actually grabbed the mic from DJ Ruckus and was singing Goodies live in
right
the club.
On. Oh, are you
that's
kidding?
So
yeah,
cool.
That
was cool.
Very fun.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then T-Pain was there in the crowd. Stevie Wonder was there. And, you know, Jeff told you earlier I was trying to work my way into Stevie Wonder's group. And I was trying to, like, flirt with everybody in his entourage so I could get in there, but that didn't really work.
They've probably seen that before, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing they spotted me a mile away trying to work my way in there. But yeah, that was an amazing, amazing night.
It was worth noting, too, that the DJ for that party was Ruckus,
yeah,
who is from Atlanta and has Atlanta ties. I think he Dallas Austin's cousin, I think, or friend, or somehow he's... But years ago, when Vision was open, and I used to do, and Buddy Love was still alive.
Buddy Love.
Like, there were times where I would host at Vision with Ruckus.
Uh-huh.
And I sent that tweet out where I'm like, 10 years ago, I used to work at Vision with Ruckus. Tonight, he spun for Stevie Wonder.
Right.
He wins.
Insane.
But it was so Atlanta.
It was amazing.
Awesome.
It was. It was such an Atlanta crowd, and it was the whole party was thrown by Tricky Stewart, and he is producing Christina Aguilera's new album that's coming out this spring. He actually produced the single on the album, and I wrote down the names of what those are, of what her song is going to be, but I think it's called Glam, and Tricky did that one. They also wrote Single Ladies, and they were the ones who accepted the award on stage.
Okay.
Those three guys were the ones hosting the party. I remember they came up and they accepted it because Beyonce was backstage getting ready to perform.
Uh-huh.
Tricky was the one in sunglasses, and he was the one who hosted that party.
Okay.
So anyway.
LA is always LA is always sort of like zooming at a very fast pace, but when there's like an award show in town like this, Jen, do you just feel like it's tweaked at a different level?
Oh, absolutely. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we've been here for all kinds of different stuff, but never anything this crazy. You know, it's just, it was, everybody was in town and everybody was famous and everybody thinks everybody else is famous. I swear, if you are mildly attractive and wearing sunglasses, I thought you were famous this weekend.
We were sitting at dinner on Saturday night and it was kind of a quiet night because, you know, Jen, round of golf clap,
oh
by the way, real quick for Jen.
Great job, Jen.
Because I saw
her
27 hours ago at her hotel dropping off a computer that she needed to use, and she was already in her Grammy dress.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been going strong. But we had a quiet dinner on Saturday night, and Jen leans over the table and says to me at one point, she goes, "Oh my God, the king of the Bushtag Empire is sitting with his back to you. You've got to see this clown." So I turn around, like, you know, can't flip around right away. But so I turn around and I look, see who it is. And I turn back and I can't say anything. So I send Jen a text message and all it says is, "The Boosh King you mention is Scott Storch, the $100 million producer."
Whoops.
He's like, oh.
Yeah. Jeff, you forgot to mention that at the table next to us was Dylan McDermott and his whole group.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's cool.
And just
so on one side of us was Scott Storch. I mean, he's produced everybody from Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Pink, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, Beyonce, everybody. So he's on one side of our table, and on the other side of our table is Dylan McDermott and his whole group of friends.
That's
so
the thing about being in LA. You just never know, right?
And for the record, Jen, because this will not end anytime soon, that was Misha Barton sitting with Dylan McDermott.
No.
Because Jessica
Googled
her.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was, because the girl next to her was her sister.
No way.
Did you guys get pictures of any of these people?
I didn't snap any at dinner.
I guess it's not one of those things.
We were at Nobu. It's like not cool to do
that.
You know what I mean?
But I think that what Jeff and Jen just did is typical of anybody that visits L.A. That is Misha Barton. No, that's not. Yes,
Look. Even if it's somebody that doesn't look anything like that.
I didn't think it was her because Misha Barton's gained so much weight lately and there's been all those pictures of her. And the reason I knew that is because Wendy picked her for the incarceration draft.
And when you say so much weight, you're talking like 4 pounds, right?
Right.
Right. Well, for her, yeah. Right. But this girl at dinner was like a skinny version. Anyway.
All right, so you're getting on a plane and you're coming back here. So can you get any sleep before that, or are you going right to the airport?
I'm not sure what time it is. Where am I?
It's almost what?
I'll figure it out.
Right. 6:45
Good job,
there.
Jen Hobby.
Good job. Jen Hobby. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
So Hayden had a lead in his play this weekend. He's been doing this play all week long called Seussical the Musical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's run out of a place called Applause for Kids. He's been part of their, what do you call it, troupe? Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm. Cast.
Cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a long time. And this
troop
is the show that they did this week. So he had a play each week when he was in the ensemble. And then on Saturday night, the great thing I love about this place is that they allow everybody in the ensemble cast at one point or another to be a lead sometime during the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Awesome. Which I think is really, really cool, right? So Hayden was in the ensemble all week long. So I went to 6 ensemble shows watching him dance on the side.
You're a good dad.
Finally, just to see him on, I guess it was Saturday night. Saturday night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Saturday night. Man, I'll tell you what. I have never felt joy like I felt on Saturday night. Like, I'm starting to get all choked up talking about it right now also. To see Hayden on stage in what I really think is his element. I mean, I have never seen that kid happier than he was on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
This kid loves to make people laugh. He loves to entertain.
That's awesome.
He was so happy on Saturday night.
That's awesome.
That is fantastic.
Good for him.
It is. Like, now I understand why, like, I understand the theory why some parents try to pressure people that don't have kids to have kids,
mm-hmm,
for these kind of experiences. Like, I sort of get it now. I would, mm-hmm, never do it, but I get what they were saying. Like, you'll just never understand the joy that I have with a child. And I felt that on Saturday night.
Well, I'm sure as a parent, sometimes it gives you the ability to truly 100% be happy for somebody else.
Yes.
Because as adults, I don't think we can do that for each other.
Oh, my God. I had the camera up, and I'm recording them, and, like, I'm fighting back tears. And it wasn't that he was doing great or he was doing crappy. It didn't matter. He was on stage, and this little kid, man, was so content and so happy that it was one of the greatest nights of my life.
That's awesome. That's
it was
cool.
Really fantastic.
Good for him. Good
did you
for
tell,
you.
Did you tell Hollis that when you got home, just so Hollis knows what?
I said, you got pretty big shoes to fill,
uh-huh,
here, dude. How are you going to beat that? Yeah, your brother kicked ass.
And did he remember all of his lines since he was the lead?
He struggled a little bit in some of the areas, but it really wasn't, like, that night for me, it wasn't about him kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on ensemble nights, when he was sort of unfocused on stage, I would sit him down afterwards and I'd say to him, look, I'm sure your coaches went through this with you, but once you get on stage, you're not Hayden anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not allowed to talk to the cast like you're Hayden. You're your character, man, because he's like his dad. He gets all flighty. And wow, look at the pretty lights. You know, and just wants to talk to everybody. But being part of the lead that night wasn't for me to go, hey, man, you forgot your lines there.
Right.
You were
out. Oh, yeah.
Uh-uh, man. He was so content. It was one of the greatest nights of my life.
And it shows cool. it shows you sometimes a natural talent, because there are some people like Hayden who doesn't mind being in front of a crowd. You know what I mean? He's pure joy, at you, like you said, for him to be not only in front of the crowd, but
influencing their reaction and when they laugh or thing. And then, you know, then you have some kids that would probably throw up at the thought of even being up there doing that. And the same with public speaking. Like, I could care less if I'm in front of, you know, however many people. If we do an appearance, it doesn't matter if we're at, you know, a concert introducing somebody to in front of thousands of people or whatever, where my sister would throw up at the idea of doing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's cool for you to be able to see firsthand his natural talent.
I think every kid has their thing. I think what a lot of parents do and what I sort of felt myself starting to do in the beginning was I wanted Hayden's thing to be my thing. I wanted him to be in sports, man. I wanted to, you know, when you're a man and you think about having a son, you think about sitting at baseball games and about football games and swinging a bat with your kid and teaching him how to catch a ball. That's not his thing.
Because Hayden's tried that before.
And he's not good at it. Mm-hmm. He's just not good at it. But his thing is, at least for now, this is what he wants his thing to be.
That's awesome.
His team. This is his baseball field. This is where he gets to help out and other kids get to assist him. And if you can find the thing that your kid is happiest in, damn, do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. Because to see them at the height of their happiness, nothing better, man.
And Sam, I think you're a good father for recognizing not pushing him into what you did. Now,
look, it was a struggle. I tell you what, 2 weeks ago, he and his mom went jazz shoes shopping. I had a problem with it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you.
What are jazz shoes?
They're like
dance shoes.
They're dance shoes with a little heel on them. So when mom said that she was taking him jazz shoes.
Part of performance. Part He's got to know everything.
I had the same. I cringed a little. I did because I thought it would be dad and him at one point going out and getting cleats. But he went out and he got his jazz shoes and they came home and it was a nice little pink box and all. And he was very proud that
they're not pink, are they?
Yep.
Now, the shoes aren't pink. We're giving a positive message. Now, don't start because Hollis is going to be the one. that's going to be the linebacker. That's going to do the sports thing.
Unless he wants to do something else. But I was like, that hurt to say my son was going jazz shoes shopping with his mom. Made me cringe.
Well, if everything works out, Hollis will be able to defend Hayden in school.
Aw, I think it's great. I mean, he's doing something that he's so passionate about. And every time Hayden comes in here, he's like a little performer in here, too. So I think it's awesome that he's already got his niche.
And there's a reason that Glee is a popular show. Mm-hmm. Because he's tapping into that so many people are into that, and they never get to say their voice in it. So that, you know, I don't give him a hard time. Jeff,
let it be.
I'm
don't
not
be the
bully. Giving Look, anyone a hard
don't
time.
Be the bully.
I am just,
you're the bully.
Your parents should have recognized this in you when you were the pitcher every year in T-ball.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I understand where you were coming from at that point in the juncture of the conversation about.
There was a twitch there.
Yes,
for sure.
I can understand that.
For sure.
But Hayden was a pure joy for
him
Saturday night.
Sure joy now.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.